for failing to take steps that could have prevented the killing of four students in 2021. Jennifer and James Crumbly are the first parents convicted in a mass school shooting. Norfolk Southern has agreed to pay $600 million in a class action suit related to that fiery train derailment in Ohio. And Tesla has settled a suit brought by the family of a California man who died in a crash while relying on the company's semi-autonomous driving software. This is SRN News.
Urgent Camp Lejeune settlement message. The government will soon begin providing fast, guaranteed settlements to Camp Lejeune Marines, families, and civilians. Awards will range between $100,000 and $550,000 with an option for higher amounts. If you or a loved one spent time at Camp Lejeune and suffered cancers of the bladder, liver, or kidneys, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's, or kidney issues, you may be entitled to a significant financial reward for your Camp Lejeune claim and could be paid within 60 days after accepting your settlement with your VA benefits fully protected. But the deadline for filing is fast approaching, so you need to act now. Call the James Harris Law Camp Lejeune helpline now to get the compensation you deserve. We're already fighting for thousands harmed by the water at Camp Lejeune, and with the deadline coming, you need to call now or you may forever lose your right to a settlement between $100,000 and $550,000. For your free evaluation, call 800-774-9900. 800-774-9900. 800-774-9900.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Truck Lines, where dump truck drivers are in demand. Wiley Sanders is on the grow. We need dump truck drivers now. Call 855-77-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Big weather changes soon with a high-impact storm system that'll be affecting us. But today, not too bad, with a high temperature up to about 79, mostly cloudy, some widely scattered showers possible. Tonight's low down to about 61. Tomorrow and tomorrow night, widespread rain and thunderstorms, especially beginning in the afternoon, more likely in the evening and nighttime hours, and locally heavy rainfall totals. Also, a severe weather risk with all modes of severe weather possible. The high in the upper 70s on Wednesday, up to about 73 Thursday with maybe some leftover showers first half of the day. Then nice weather Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
For the lowest prices around on flooring and DIY flooring installation supplies, Budget Floors and More is your new best friend. Luxury vinyl plank, carpet, ceramic tile, floor installation supplies, and more with prices lower than the big box stores. Budget Floors and More, Hunter Lane across from Del Rey to Publix.
From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, here's today's top stories. Montgomery police are investigating a shooting that left a man dead Sunday night. 52-year-old Christopher Manuel was shot in the 4700 block of Mobile Highway late Sunday night. He was pronounced dead at the scene. No further information has been released. The Alabama House of Representatives has passed legislation that would give property owners and law enforcement better tools to deal with individuals who illegally occupy the homes of others. House Bill 182 increases penalties for squatters who attempt to take over a residence that does not belong to them. School districts across Alabama received federal funding during the pandemic, but the money is expected to run out later this year. According to State Superintendent Dr. Eric Mackey, the COVID funding the state received will run out by December. Superintendent Mackey assures there won't be any massive layoffs. From the Blue Water Broadcasting News Center, I'm Sky Mosley.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
I'm with Miss Dot at the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall. Dot, spring is already here.
Oh, I'm so glad to. I'm tired of being cold. With spring, we're starting to bring out the wicker furniture. We are getting in the iron outdoor furniture and just a lot of things that's just going to brighten your day.
Now, if somebody needs some furniture for their home, you have a good selection, don't you?
If there's any furniture that you can't find anywhere else, come to Eastbrook because we have a wonderful selection of solid, good, heavy furniture at excellent prices. Actually, better than you're going to find anywhere else. Just come see us and walk around all three floors, and let's help you out to fill up those living rooms and dining rooms and bedrooms, but we've got it all.
Do you have any booth space available at this time?
I have booth space available. So come see us.
All right, give us those hours of operation.
Monday through Friday is 10 until 6. Saturday is 9 until 6. And Sunday, 12:30 to 4:30.
Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall, 425 Coliseum Boulevard.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for Montgomery's Conversational Radio Show. It's news and views on News Talk 93.1 FM. To join the conversation, call 272-9228.
Have the one, the only, Dick Brubaker. How you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm doing great. Had a great week, had a great morning, and life is good in Dixie.
Oh, amen. So where all have you been on this campaign now?
Well, last night I was in Mobile talking to the auto dealers and just making the rounds and trying to finish up strong. The election's a week from today.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So April 16th, go vote, everybody. Participate in your democracy.
Well, let's just be blunt. We're not expecting a huge turnout with these runoffs.
On Super Tuesday, the turnout was 22%.
Wow.
The rule of thumb, for probate judges is in a runoff, especially a runoff with only one thing on the ballot, you might, if you're lucky, get half. So that would be 11%. But you've also got to throw in to the mix that three of the counties in the district will be on spring break on election day. Ooh. Including Mobile County, which is where a lot of the voters are. So if we get to 11%, that would be, I know it sounds horrible, but that would be on the high side of the estimate. So,
wow.
But it's important. The biggest threat to any democracy is non-participation.
Now, it feels like with this race, it's coming down to who can believably be the truest conservative in the race. And honestly, here in these airwaves, there are a lot of people who know you.
Right, sure.
Maybe know you better than I know you. And it's not exactly a tough case to make. But how are you making that case outside of, say, this listening area?
Well, for me, being a Christian is a way to live. It's not a political punchline. And so there's certain things I can't do. I have frustrated my campaign staff by refusing to run the negative ads they've ginned up on her. I just told them, I'm going to keep my integrity intact, whatever happens. And one reason Republican turnout has been falling over the last couple of cycles is all this self-destructive negative campaigning. And I'm just not going to do it. Now, when I go and travel around, I tell people the truth about my record, in spite of her distortions of it. And, the easiest one is, oh, he's a Trump hater. Well, General Mike Flynn, Lee Greenwood, Seth Paxton, Veterans for Trump, the largest pro-Trump organization in the country, they all endorse me, not her, and which puts the Trump thing to bed. But it also brings up, what do you want from a elected official? The tweets she quotes when, right after he got elected, President Trump suggested a tariff. And let's face it, all of Alabama industry is second wave. In other words, transplants. Austral, Airbus, Mercedes, Hyundai. And this tariff would have just gutted them, especially Airbus. And the people from the Mobile Chamber and the Montgomery Chamber and Airbus came to the legislature and said, look, you guys are elected officials. You guys need to start talking about this because we need some help with the big man. And Trump, to his credit, he listened to what Republicans were telling him about how destructive this tariff would have been. And he made an exception for imported assemblies that go into domestically manufactured products. So it all ended happy. But the reason the president changed his mind is because people that were being negatively affected, spoke up. And I am a Trump supporter. I mean, I've given him money, voted for him every time he's run. But, if you, even when your own party, if they're about to do bring in some bad policy.
Mm-hmm.
It's your obligation to stand up on your hind legs and say something about it.
Right.
Not just sit quietly and say, well, you know, I can't criticize someone because he's a Republican. I mean, come on.
Well, and I remember those arguments, especially in the sense that because of those inputs, Alabama was a net exporter.
Yes.
So we don't want to upset that. And I also remember I was at a libertarian conference in Atlanta for FEE, Foundation for Economic Education. Everybody's talking about how bad the Trump tariffs are. Trump is at the G8 in Canada when we're having this conversation. And news breaks while I'm in the room with all these libertarians of Trump in the G8 meeting says, what if we have no barriers?
Yeah.
And everybody is shocked, and it made me go, oh, the tariff is a threat. Mm-hmm. He would prefer fairness being, we're not blocking anybody.
Oh, right. Look, Trump is a businessman, and they did impose some tariffs.
Right.
But not the prohibitive, protective tariffs. You know, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be, there was a special tariff carved out for aircraft, and I wouldn't be surprised if some Boeing lobbyist got to one of the, somebody on his economic team and was behind that. I mean, it would have raised every Airbus aircraft, right when they're in the competition with Boeing, by $10 million per unit, per plane, which would have made Airbus non-competitive.
Yep.
And to a lesser extent, you know, would have damaged Hyundai and Mercedes and all the other transplants. But it all ended happy. The president, as always, listened to people who wanted to see America prosper. And he got a lot of concessions from our trading partners that ended up helping the economy a lot. So it all ended happy. The other thing she's always hit me on is, you know, if I was a really a tax and spend type of Republican, people in Montgomery wouldn't have kept reelecting me. I did vote. My rule as a state senator was that if, like, let's say the people in Crenshaw County wanted a local tax for their schools or for a new jail or whatever, if their county commission would give me a unanimous resolution, go on record, and their city council, whatever the affected city councils were, I would put it on the ballot. And let's face it, those sitting local councilmen and local county commissioners taking a lot bigger political risk than I was. And I didn't think it was a state senator's place to tell local communities they couldn't change their tax policies. And my only condition was that everybody be out front about what they were doing. And the other thing was there had to be a referendum. Even if it was a tax that constitutionally didn't require a referendum, if they wanted me to put it through the legislature, local people were going to get to vote on it. And that was always my policy. And frankly, I think it was the right one.
Now, at the federal level, I'd imagine you would agree to no new taxes.
Oh, absolutely. Federal spending is too high, not too low.
Thank you.
Amen.
And if we really want to turn the economy around, and let's face it, the economy is slowing, especially on large ticket retail.
Yep.
If we want to see inflation come down and government revenues go up, the way to do it is to cut taxes like Kennedy did and like Reagan did. And, you know, you'll have the biggest economic boom just like it did the last two times. But we're talking about deep across the board income tax cuts. And that frees up money and makes business people more willing to take risks, more willing to invest in their businesses. And that's what creates jobs and spins the economic wheel.
Well, and, you know, I'm personally not much of a Keynesian or monetarist at all, but they'll often argue, oh, the multiplier effect when government throws money at a particular thing, but how much of a multiplier effect is there when we're spending, what, $870 billion, give or take, just to service the national debt? That seems like a huge waste.
Well, there's obviously no multiplier on debt payments. But the... The problem is you've got two things driving inflation. One is government spending, and we have got to rein that in. One place where my opponent and I differ, if you listen to the debate, is on I think we ought to abolish the U.S. Department of Education and block grant that money back to the states. The U.S. Department of Education was founded under Carter, and ever since its founding, the condition of American public schools have worsened. It is a failed experiment. We spend $51 billion a year on it. And it's time to admit it's a failed experiment. And on top of that, all of this LGBT-friendly curricula and these, you know, gender-bending library books they want to put in the hands of your third grader, that stuff's not being written in the states.
Right.
It's all coming out of Washington, mm-hmm. and they force it into schools through their funding process.
Yep.
And we can solve that problem by abolishing, getting rid of all those educrats, and spending that $51 billion block grant it to local school boards based on student population. And you'll see a lot better educational outcome. And you're a libertarian. Constitutionally, the federal government is given no role in public education. It's always been a state function. And we need to get back to that.
Amen.
Let the states control what happens. And like in Alabama, we have a pretty good record of pushing authority to local systems. Those school boards are the closest to the parents, and that's where the decisions need to be made in local communities about what works for them.
Amen. Well, you're singing my tune, though. President Trump just made waves with his big announcement on IVF and abortion, the big video he put out. Do you agree with that idea that it should be left up to the states, the question of abortion policy?
Well, when Roe v. Wade, or the Dobbs, or whatever you want to call it, was repealed, you know, the left was running around lying to the American public like they always do. Oh, abortion's been outlawed. No, it hasn't. All that decision did was put it back where it should have been all along in state legislatures. And if there's one thing we don't need to do, it's to refederalize that issue. We need to let state legislators handle that issue state by state. And in states that are pro-abortion, well, we need to go make our case and build support and start electing pro-life people in those states. The answer is not to bring it back into the federal domain where the federal courts will be able to decide what happens again. I mean, that's how we got into this mess in the first place, by federalizing what should have always been a state issue.
Now, were you, because, I mean, you've been there, you've seen how especially the state Senate works, but both sides, both chambers, you surprised how quickly they came up with a so-called fix to the IVF issue?
Well, one thing about the legislature, they work best under pressure, and there was lots of pressure. And they took the shortest way home. The hospitals were saying, our issue is liability. So the state legislature took the shortest way home, gave them civil immunity, and now everybody's back in business. Now, those vexing questions of personhood are going to have to be addressed again at some point.
Right.
But I don't predict that the legislature is going to be in a big hurry to open that can of worms. So I think it may be a while before they have a special session or take those issues up.
Now, another thing that's come out, it's a Gallup poll. Very bad news for EV cars in the industry. Apparently, Republicans have no interest in purchasing any EVs, and Democrats are also losing interest quickly.
Well, and when I just got out of the car business last year, but you know, the factories try hard to shove these electric vehicles down your throat, and people just don't want them. I mean, in my business, I had 99 employees. Two-thirds of them lived outside Montgomery County and were commuting to work, and the last thing in the world they were going to buy is, if they went home and there was a storm and their power went out, they weren't going to miss the next day's work because they couldn't charge their car. I mean, people, the technology's just not there. And we need to, the federal government has no business telling people what to drive. I mean, this is America. I mean, come on. You can drive what you want. And the technology on EVs isn't there. Now, if someday it is there, people will buy them.
Right.
But right now, people are smart enough to realize that the technology's not there, it's not sufficient. And think about this. Suppose the feds managed to force EVs on enough people to where half of the people are driving EVs by 2035, like what they say they want. Imagine what a hurricane evacuation will look like when the interstates are blocked by EVs with dead batteries that can't be moved. I mean, we'll never get people out of Mobile or Florida or wherever it is. Electric vehicles are just part of this entire green energy, enrich the elites program that Joe Biden's been on. And he tried to make EVs more attractive by artificially driving up the price of fossil fuels. But even with that, the public still isn't buying. In 2022... We track what we call repurchase intention.
Mm-hmm.
Like people that buy a 1500 pickup of any brand. Well, the repurchase intention on a vehicle like that is about 80%. Mm-hmm. 4 out of 5 people, when they trade, will buy another similar vehicle. The repurchase intention on all EVs is less than 20, less than 1 in 5. So if you know 5 people who have an electric car now, only one of those intends to purchase another electric car.
All right.
So that says it all. And, you know, this is just, in my campaign, I've talked about liberty, security, and limited government. This is where the limited government piece comes in. They are throwing away hundreds of millions of tax dollars on trying to enrich green energy elites. And it's not working. Everybody in the industry knows it's not working. And I think the federal government knows it's not working. But they're going to wait till after the election to throw in the towel, because the Democrats want all that, you know, that green energy money.
Right.
But the other thing is, people are supposed to buy electric cars because of carbon emissions, China burned more coal last year than any year in their history. Same for India. They're opening up one new electric coal-burning power plant every month. So making American families pay 30% more for food because of artificially raised fuel prices isn't helping the planet.
Right.
I mean, if they open 3 coal-fired plants for every 1 we close, we're not doing any good. And I don't believe that. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I'm not an environmental scientist. I'm an automobile dealer. But if the Chinese and India were really killing the planet, I don't think they still have most in favor nation trade status with the United States, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is just one more government program where they want to pick winners and losers. And yep, the green energy people tend to vote Democrat, so they're rewarding them.
And I can't think of a better or bigger champion for EVs in particular than Elon Musk. And even Musk, and he's not shy about taking government money either.
No.
But he said this whole push by the Biden administration is a joke. And it really did look like, all of Elon's competitors who couldn't be as effective as him are now going to get a lot of these benefits with the infrastructure build-outs. I think Montgomery just got a grant on the west side of installed charging stations, which I just shake my head at.
Right.
I think you're absolutely right.
It just shows the federal government out of their lane again. The federal government didn't go around building gas stations.
They didn't have to.
When the demand is there, people will build it, and the customers will come. But in this case, you know, if you've ever gone to, what am I, in-laws had drove up to North Carolina recently and was talking about at a Charlotte area rest area, there were all of these, you know, charging stations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, half of them weren't working, had out-of-order signs on them. And the other half were taken. And so if you're on your way north and you stop in at one of those places, instead of taking 10 minutes to fill up your car with gas, at a minimum, you're going to be there an hour.
Yep.
And that's why the American public doesn't want this thing.
Right.
But we're spending, you know, billions of dollars on it, even though it's a technology that's just not ready for prime time.
Well, I got to hit a break here, but more especially, you know, jumping off the cost of energy, the cost of living in general, we'll get into that, the economy, as well as foreign policy, big in the headlines right now. First, though, folks, as part of the program, brought to you by James Cole and Cole Plumbing. And they're at Cole Plumbing. James and the team have this proprietary pipelining technology that allows them, with minimal discomfort to you and your home, to get in there and solve the problem. That could mean a big leak that you just notice, and then you're like, we have to tear out a bunch of drywall? Nope, not with Cole Plumbing. They're not going to have to dig up a huge hole in your yard either to find that leak. Again, with precision expertise, they can find the problem and solve it for you. They can also help you with everyday plumbing issues like a clogged drain, low water pressure, maybe even tree root invasion. Could be you have a gas line leak, or God forbid you have a basement with a sump pump that isn't actually working. Or maybe you just want to upgrade to a tankless water heater system, or get all fancy, install a bidet or something in your bathroom, which I hear is very nice. Cole Plumbing can help you with that. So call them today. Make an appointment. 279-8919. That's 279-8919. And just remember, folks, when you have trouble with your bowl,
call them Cole, Joey.
That's right, Eddie. Hey, we got to hit this break. More with Dick Brubaker when we come back.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hi, this is Bo Goodson from the Goodson Group. Selling a home in the River region in this market takes some planning and preparation to be successful. Here are some steps to take to get your home sold fast. Remember the five P's. Prepare the home. Fresh coat of paint inside and out, and complete any repairs needed. Professionally clean the home. A deep cleaning of floors, cabinets, windows, and blinds will leave a great impression for future buyers. Provide a home warranty for the buyer to give the buyer peace of mind after the closing. Provide a closing cost allowance for the buyer to help them be able to afford your home. Price your home to sell, not sit. A comparative market analysis from a local realtor will demonstrate what other properties have sold for in your neighborhood. Well-priced homes sell faster with less hassle. Houses are selling fast and sellers are getting top dollar. For all the answers, call Bo Goodson at the Goodson Group, 221-2883 or 551-0225.
Have you ever noticed how many car dealers start their commercials with,
"It's the best sale of the year. Push, pull, or drag your old vehicle in. No offer will be refused."
At Larry Puckett Chevrolet, they don't make outrageous claims and have all of that fast talk at the end of their commercials. They just offer great deals month in and month out. New cars and trucks are arriving daily. Plus, Larry Puckett has a great selection of pre-owned cars and trucks. All makes and models. If you're getting a refund from Uncle Sam, it could be your down payment. If you have an extra vehicle that you want to sell, bring it in for an instant cash offer. They're paying top dollar to keep their lot full. Remember, LP just doesn't stand for Larry Puckett. It stands for lowest prices in the River region. Come to the dealer that lets the customers do the talking. Larry Puckett Chevrolet on Cobbs Ford Road in Prattville. Or look them up online at LarryPuckett.com.
This is former Alabama Supreme Court Justice Glenn Murdoch. Alabama is a great place to live and work and raise our families because Alabamians are a good people of faith and traditional values. But a huge gambling bill in Montgomery would change our culture forever. Neon light casinos bringing more crime to our big cities and small towns. Highly addictive cell phone betting, and the state selling the lie of lottery riches to the poor and most vulnerable. With all that's wrong in the world, this is no time to give up on our traditional values in Alabama. Call and ask your senator to be the leader you elected them to be, to stand strong and vote no on gambling, and keep the Alabama we know and love. Thank you.
Call your senator at 334-261-0800, 334-261-0800, 334-261-0800. Paid for by Alabama Eagle Forum, Box 130-757, Birmingham.
Are you tired of the mainstream media's biased reporting? Do you want to stay informed on the news that really matters to you? Look no further than 1819 News. At 1819 News, we bring you the latest in Alabama news, politics, sports, culture, and more. We've assembled a team of journalists with Alabama values dedicated to the truth and the truth alone. Visit us at 1819news.com today. That's 1819news.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. Honest News, Alabama Values.
Molecopro with Hustler Turf Zero Turn Mowers. They engineer their mowers to be maintenance and service friendly for the everyday homeowner while not sacrificing the build and cut quality they're known for. From the heavy duty frame to the welded steel deck to their trademark smooth track steering, Hustler Turf Zero Turn Mowers deliver professional grade cut quality for a perfectly manicured lawn. Why don't you stop by and see Dietzville Ace Hardware? See the Hustler difference for yourself today. Dietzville Ace Hardware on US 31 just north of Prattville, or Google Dietzville Ace Hardware for more information.
The Health and Wealth Show. The Health and Wealth Show. The show so nice, we said it twice. Weekday evenings at 6 on News Talk 93.1 WACV. The Health...
Make it up, son. Joke's over, hey?
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Joey Clark.
Welcome back. The news and views in the afternoon. Still here in the studio, right across the desk, we have Brubaker, who's a candidate running for Congress. So, and just to remind folks, this runoff is next Tuesday, a week from today.
Yes, go vote.
And this is at normal polling places, yes, like you did there on
just
Super
on
Tuesday.
Super vote. Tuesday, same deal.
So get out there and vote, because your vote, especially in one of these runoffs, can make a difference.
Absolutely.
We often joke on the show, Eddie, who's going to win the presidential race in Alabama?
That would be Donald Trump.
You sure?
100%.
Right, okay. But, yeah, on these very local races, you really can make a difference, right, folks. Don't kid yourself. Now, where we left off, let's talk about the economy more, but especially something like energy prices, because it's not just about saving a dollar for the average American, which I think we all want. It's also a national security issue, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when Biden took office, not many people realize this, the culmination of 30 years of Democrat presidents and Republican presidents pursuing energy independence after the Arab oil embargo and the Gulf War, people were re-energized. We don't need to have our foreign policy driven by Arab oil sold by people that hate us. And so Republicans and Democrats both work toward energy independence. Well, the last quarter of the Trump administration, we finally got there. The United States became a net energy exporter. And after Biden got in office, that lasted about 10 minutes. And, you know, he killed the Keystone Pipeline. He's been not renewing federal natural gas leases. He's put all sorts of new ridiculous environmental roadblocks in the way of fracking. And he's done everything possible to constrict our domestic energy supply. And not only that, he's drawn down the strategic fuel reserves to the lowest level in 25 years.
Right.
And you know, for what? To make us less secure, make food more expensive, Americans less secure. And, you know, because our infrastructure was not built with the idea that an American president would let thousands of known terrorists into the United States illegally through the southern border, right, our infrastructure is largely soft targets.
Right.
With the exception of nuclear plants, all of the rest of our infrastructure, both energy-producing infrastructure, refineries, power substations, are unguarded. I mean, a chain-link fence isn't going to keep a terrorist out.
Right.
And this stuff would be quick to destroy and slow to rebuild. So, yes, being a net importer again, not only that, we are back to dependence again on foreign energy. And the fact that our internal energy infrastructure is so much less secure than it was before Sleepy Joe took office. We are, you know, I'm just amazed that something hasn't happened yet.
Right.
But it will happen. It's just a matter of when.
Now, with the border, like, the Democrats tried with a straight face to say, oh, look, we tried to solve the problem with this bipartisan bill. I think if James Langford didn't intend it, James Langford got taken for a ride. I'll put it that way. Somebody screwed that guy over. Excuse me. Pardon me. But there's an old Ayn Rand line I keep repeating myself these days, that mistakes of this magnitude are not made innocently.
Right.
Since they're not even mistakes. So what the heck, what are they doing with the border? Why are they letting this many people in?
Well, I think that the Democrats want to replace the middle class voters. I mean, let's face it, the middle class, they don't like us. We get in their way. I mean, we don't support socialism. The middle class is a group of people, and I mean black and white middle class people.
Sure.
If the government schools aren't any good, we'll build our own schools. If the communities we live in become unsafe, we'll build our own towns. I mean, we'll do whatever we have to. And the Democrats can't stand that. The middle class, you know, are those people who don't want their lives controlled by the government. And Biden thinks that we're in the way, and this is how he gets rid of us over time. And, you know, when it comes to the border, you can't just throw tropes out there, red meat tropes to, you know, gin up support for bad policy from the right. I mean, we can secure the border. I don't care if it takes every National Guardsman in the country. We can put enough people on the border to look at every person. I don't care if you have to have a soldier every 6 feet. But what my opponent has said repeatedly is that she doesn't want to secure the border. She wants to close it. Now, we export more across the southern border to Mexico than we do to the EU. $2 billion a day in U.S. trade goes across the southern border. That's over $1 million a minute, if my math is right. We don't have to close the border. We have to secure the border. Legitimate trade should be allowed to cross in both directions while we put however many Border Patrol agents, soldiers, you name it. And the thing is, the key piece of all this is to not only finish the wall, but the minute people are apprehended, they go to a prison until we can repatriate them to whatever country they hold citizenship with. And unfortunately, more and more often, that country is China. And the Chinese are great at their word for asymmetrical warfare.
Oh, there you go.
Asymmetrical warfare. And this is part of it. And these people don't need to be in our country. If they're here illegally, back to China or Singapore or Vietnam or wherever. But you can't just let them stay here. And I think a lot of even conservatives have sort of thrown up their hands as the problem's too big. There's no way to deport all these people. Well, look at your history books. Dwight Eisenhower deported 1.5 million people in less than 2 years. If we have the will to do it, we can do it. But I think step one should be the minute you grab these people at the border, back they go.
Now, when we look at American foreign policy and what's happening now, there is always the conversation around Taiwan, which is a big one. But the hot wars that we're either directly or indirectly in with Ukraine and also now what's going on in the Middle East, especially now with the threat of Iran striking back after Israeli strikes, you, I would say, more than, say, somebody like me or even Eddie, like, the stakes are higher because of what your son does, right?
Yeah, my son is an active duty member of the 75th Ranger Regiment. He was in Kabul when it all collapsed.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he has had a very interesting career in the military. He's been combat deployed a lot. And so, yes, since he'll be one of the very first people to go, if Biden blunders us into one of the three wars he seems to be considering, he hadn't picked one yet.
Right.
But everything that's happening in Gaza right now has been caused by what happened in Kabul.
Hmm.
That failure of U.S. nerve and leadership and the abandonment of our allies has emboldened terrorists all over the world. And the sad part is, our president has no moral compass at all. Israel is entitled to do, they were the ones attacked. They didn't make this happen. Hamas made it happen.
Yep.
And I'm sorry for civilians in Gaza, but you know, during World War II, the German people elected Hitler, they supported Hitler, they supported him with their votes and their money and their taxes and a refusal to force the German government to show any restraint. And so when the war came, they suffered. They suffered badly. And the people in Gaza have supported the terrorists. They're the ones that go into the streets and cheer every time an Israeli civilian is murdered. And they let these terrorists store arms in their hospitals, dig tunnels under their cities. And so guess what? It's a great big dirt burger, and they're all going to get a bite. And the Israelis have no... They have a moral obligation to restrain themselves as much as is consistent with victory, but no more. And Biden shows his lack of a moral compass. And you know, we just gave $100 million to Gaza, which is the same way as saying we gave it to the people who support Hamas. And he's trying to make both sides good. Well, in this case, the only people in the right are the Israelis. The people in Hamas and their fellow travelers in Gaza are 100% to blame for this. The Hamas crossed the Israeli border with no intention, no military objective at all, except to kill as many Israeli civilians as they could kill. And now it's payback time. And the president of the United States is trying to pressure Israel into a situation that will allow Hamas to survive and do this again.
Right.
And I don't blame the Israelis at all for saying no.
Now, it's in the Congress this week, big question happening. Should $60 billion more go to support Ukraine? What would you say about that?
Well, the short answer is no. But The longer answer, which is necessary here, is this. We need to have a very serious talk with our NATO allies. The reason we're supposedly there is to protect our European allies. And if that's the reason, why is the United States carrying the by far the heaviest share of the burden in Ukraine? I mean, we don't share a border with Ukraine.
Right.
Our NATO allies do. And with the exception of Poland, none of our allies, well, and Britain and the UK, none of our allies are even spending the mandatory 2% of GDP on defense that they agreed to when they joined NATO. So if our allies just say, you know, we're only willing to oppose Russian aggression if, you know, we'll fight the Russians to the last American. If that's the way they feel about it, it's time for us to start looking for the exit door. Now, if they're willing to bear their share of the cost, I think you can build a case that we should stay in. But we need to stay in with some sort of no more cash. Like, even when we give the Israelis military aid, the vast majority of it's in trade credits.
Right.
So they can go to American companies like Raytheon and buy missiles. So the money is actually being spent with the U.S. defense industry. And I think that's the model we need to use with Ukraine. It's not the American taxpayer's job to pay all of their government employees. And it's certainly not our job to continue to transfer cash when they've proven that a good bit of that cash just goes missing. So it's time for a very serious talk with our allies, and we need to tailor our foreign policy to how far our NATO allies are willing to go to defend themselves. Like, one reason the German economy is by far the biggest in Europe is because we are carrying almost their entire defense load. Last time I looked, the German army had less than 300 fully operational tanks.
Right.
Well, and their view is, why should we maintain armor-heavy maneuver divisions when the Americans are kind enough to have the second armored over here all the time?
Well, and maybe it's the idea that everybody kind of understands that, you know, what the original idea with NATO is: keep Germany down, Russia out, and the United States in.
Right.
And the free riding thus comes out, well, y'all are keeping Germany down, Russia out, so why? It's not a true alliance, but I think it's now so many decades later,
right,
we need to reevaluate
this.
Well,
the situation has changed.
Right.
I mean, let's face it, if there's one U.S. aid package that has been proven to be a success, it was the Marshall Plan.
Right.
But, you know, now our European allies economically are our competitors. And I don't think we need to forever, while we need to maintain a strong NATO, and because let's face it, Putin has said repeatedly that his goal is to reestablish all the old Soviet spheres of influence. And that would be bad. We don't need to let that happen.
Well,
but that also means that the people we're supposedly defending need to bear their share of the burden. And Germany is a rich country. They're not Estonia. I mean, they can't poor mouth and say, we just don't have the GDP to make a significant contribution to defense. Well, Germany does, and so does the UK. Now, the British are doing their part, but the rest of our NATO allies are spending about 1%. Half of their NATO commitment on defense. And they should take that money and either give it to the Ukrainians and let them fight Russians with it. But the idea that the United States, the American taxpayer, is going to carry this load mostly alone forever is a non-starter. And I think Congress is getting weary of this. And if we can't get a firm commitment from our NATO allies going forward, like I say, it's time to start easing out.
Well, pretty much out of time here. If folks want to support you, your campaign, with the runoff coming up just a week from today, how can they do so?
Go to brubakerforcongress.com, and you can find all the information you need. And look, I'm going to get through this election with my integrity intact. Remember who in this race has proven that they're willing to lie to get what they want and who isn't. So I've always kept my word. Vote Dick Brubaker.
Well, appreciate your time as always, sir. We'll be right back, folks.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The IRS is ramping up collection. And if you owe back taxes or have years of unfiled tax returns, listen carefully. Before it's too late, check your eligibility for the Fresh Start program still offered by the IRS to reduce or even eliminate your tax problems. Call our special hotline number now and find out in minutes if you qualify for these life-changing debt reduction programs. Business or personal, if you're in a payment plan with no end in sight, have unfiled tax returns, under audit, have a wager bank levy, or finally just want to know your options, call the experts at Republic Tax Relief and stop collections immediately. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau with a 5-star rating from Yelp. This veteran-owned company has the fight you need to take on the IRS. Don't go at it alone. Call their hotline number now. 800-565-1688. That's 800-565-1688. Find out if you qualify today. Call 800-565-1688 or go to RepublicTaxRelief.com.
Now you can add the power of digital advertising to the number one reach of radio. Let Blue Water's 20 years of local advertising and marketing success show you how. Grow your business with a complete suite of digital solutions combined with the reach of the most listened to radio group in the River Region. Call us or go to BlueWaterBroadcasting.com to find out how we can increase your return on investment. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
The Johnny Adams Law Firm, proud sponsor of the Rich Thomas Weather Network. You can't control the weather, but you can control your drive. Be aware of your surroundings in any weather. Be a defensive driver. Your family and friends will thank you. From the Johnny Adams Law Firm.
Hi, everybody. Big weather changes soon with a high-impact storm system that'll be affecting us. But today, not too bad, with a high temperature up to about 79, mostly cloudy, some widely scattered showers possible. Tonight's low down to about 61. Tomorrow and tomorrow night, widespread rain and thunderstorms, especially beginning in the afternoon, more likely in the evening and nighttime hours, and locally heavy rainfall totals. Also, a severe weather risk with all modes of severe weather possible. The high in the upper 70s on Wednesday, up to about 73 Thursday with maybe some leftover showers first half of the day. Then nice weather Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Web Bobo with Capital Tractor. The Z700 series is the star of Kubota's line of zero-turn mowers, and our special spring pricing makes it easier than ever to take one home today. Powering Alabama, Kubota and Capital Tractor, Montgomery, Brundage, and Greenville.
The Tierce family has been your local Roto-Rooter service since 1964. Drain cleaning, plumbing repair, and those troublesome septic tanks, no problem. Technology has changed a bit in the last 54 years. Video inspections of lines to locate problems is available, as well as scheduling your appointment online. River Region residents have trusted Roto-Rooter for over half a century. You can too. Call today at 272-7130 or visit online at rotorooteralabama.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And we go troubles down the drain.
Roto-Rooter.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Visit them on the web at myalabamahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368. An equal housing lender.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
I'm your host, Joey, and before we bring our guest in, I have to do some business because this part of the program brought to you by Bo Goodson and the Goodson Group. And there at the Goodson Group, Bo and his team have been helping buyers and sellers in the River Region real estate market for over four decades, going on nearly five. And at the Goodson Group, not only can they help you with buying or selling your property, they also have management services. It's a great idea in this market to invest in a rental, but you probably want a professional like the Goodson Group managing it for you. And the crown jewel there is the Bo Goodson real estate school. It's one of the most highly acclaimed here in the great state of Alabama because of Bo's experience. It's a very interactive course. Bo's been through it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he's ready to teach you so you can hit the ground running, finding success, whether as a more knowledgeable private player or a fully licensed realtor. So check him out today. You can always go to thegoodsongroup.com or give him a call at 551-0225. That's 551-0225. Bo Goodson and the Goodson Group, great sponsor here of News and Views in the afternoon. Now, we have a very special guest here today. She's the Consul General of Israel for the Southeastern United States, Anat Sultan Dadan. Anat, great to see you today. How are you doing?
Great to be here. Thank you.
Tough days, as we were saying off air.
Very tough days, but I think that it is heartwarming to be reminded today that there is incredible support for Israel here in the great state of Alabama. The governor just signed a beautiful resolution supporting Israel at this time, a resolution that was passed with overwhelming bipartisan support at the Alabama's state legislature. And we greatly appreciate Alabama's support of Israel at this time.
Well, and just for folks to get to know you a little bit, you were appointed to this position in 2019?
That's right. I've been in my position covering the Southeast from Atlanta, covering the Southeastern region, seven states in the Southeast since July of 2019. And I think that it is an incredible privilege not only to be posted to the United States, by far Israel's most important ally in the world, but an incredible privilege to be here in the Southeastern United States, where we have so many friends and supporters, just like what the state of Alabama declared today.
Well, are you happier here in the Southeast compared to, say, like Michigan or something like that?
Well, I can't speak for my Fair colleagues enough. Elsewhere. Yeah. I will say that I'm certainly happy to be here here in the Southeast, where we have so many friends and supporters.
Well, so let's get into what's happening, because I try to keep it light. You know, we're doing all right, but it's pretty awful what's happening there. And so let's get the latest. What's happening with the war in Gaza?
So we are now 6 months into the war that started on October 7th with the murderous terror attack carried out by Hamas against Israel, in which they not only massacred 1,200 Israelis in their homes at a music festival, but they also took over 250 hostages, brutally dragging them into captivity. And we still have today 133 hostages remaining in captivity in Gaza. And so alongside the fighting that the Israel Defense Force is engaged in since October 7th in order to ensure that we never see such a terror threat emanating from the Gaza Strip ever again, we also must continue to work to ensure that all 133 hostages return home.
And how many have we confirmed dead that we've lost so far?
Of the 133, 36 have been confirmed to be bodies. We hope that they can be brought to rest, to burial, to rest in Israel. And of course, that all of the remaining hostages who are still alive remain alive and be able to return to their loved ones.
Now, in American press and our corporate media especially, you often see, and the Democrats, say at the highest level in our country, keeps suggesting there's it's like daylight between Netanyahu, say the rest of the war cabinet. Is there any truth to that? Because that's not my sense of it.
Israelis have many disagreements over almost anything. But if there is one thing that we are united about, it is the fact that we need to ensure that October 7th never happen again, that we never see such images again, that we are able on our southern border, on our northern border, that we are able to know that our children go to bed at night without fearing that a terrorist will infiltrate and murder them in their beds. That is something that all of Israel is united in, and that is why we need to ensure that Hamas and any other terror elements in the Gaza Strip no longer have the capabilities to attack Israel, because their leadership states clearly that they will commit October 7th again and again and again. We need to ensure that they never be able to do so.
Now, I wonder if there was discussion about how much wider could this war get, in the sense that Hezbollah there to the north, and now since the strike against the head of the Quds force, or it was several leaders there for them in Damascus, the feeling of Iran retaliating in some way. So does this war stay just in Gaza, or do you think it expands?
We did not want this war in Gaza. We did not choose this war in Gaza. We hope that we do not have a war on our northern border. But the sad reality is that Hamas would not have been able to carry out the attack that it carried out on October 7th without the funding, training, guidance, and support that it receives from Iran. Iran is training, funding, equipping, and guiding terror elements in the region, be it Hamas, be it Hezbollah in Lebanon, be it the Houthis in Yemen, terror militias in Iraq, in Syria. These all pose a threat, not just to Israel. They pose a threat to all of us, to the entire free world. And I think that that is what many people do not realize, that this is not just Israel's fight.
Right.
We are fighting a radical Islamist ideology that is a threat to everything that we all believe in, the values of life and freedom, because what they do is glorify death, and they seek a new Islamist world order, which of course stands in contradiction to everything that we stand for, that we believe in. And Iran, which is the driving force behind all of this, Iran needs to be addressed. And again, not just a concern for Israel. We do hope, and we believe, that the United States has taken a very, very clear stand also in its messaging, that the United States does not want to see a war on our northern border. We do hope that we can avoid that. But our first priority is to the safety and security of our country and citizens, and that is what we need to ensure on our southern border, but also on our northern border, because Hezbollah has been attacking from our northern border as well.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left here, and so I guess in a way we could end where we began, with the support and what the governor just put out today here in the great state of Alabama. But you're seeing it in the context of whether you look at the UN or say just images you see now on Twitter, and it's awful, the amount of hatred and a lot of the world turning against Israel. So how much does it mean to have supporters here, especially in this part of the country, especially juxtaposed next to what we're seeing around the world?
It means everything. I think that here in the United States, we are fortunate. We are fortunate to have the support of the United States. We know that our relations have always been and will remain strong. But it is very disturbing to see what we believe is a minority, but a very loud minority that is preaching hate, that is promoting lies and anti-Israel and anti-Semitic rhetoric and tropes. We need to see the sane voices, the voice of reason. We need to hear more of them. We need for them to be loud. And we think that this example of Alabama can lead the way for others as well. We hope to see more taking a clear, loud, vocal stand on the right side of history. Because the other side, if you're not standing with us, the alternative is that you're supporting terror, that you're supporting murder, that you're supporting rape, which is what they stand for.
Well, I really do appreciate your time today, the limited time we've had, because I'll just, in full candor, I'm in my own little world, and you see stuff in the news, and it's just news, even when it is that awful. But to just hear the tone of your voice, to talk to you today, it's a reminder of the